Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Should we thank God for his word? And pray that he will bless the public reading of it. On the 31st of October, in the year 1517, a young man walked determinedly across the square of the university town of Wittenberg in Germany. He was walking across to a place that was commonly referred to as the Great Church. Just a few years earlier, he had been professor of philosophy at the university. And of recent years, he had just become professor of biblical theology. And his lectures were attracting great attention. In 1517, he had just expounded the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, and he had just completed his expositions of that letter. And in doing so, he became convinced of four great truths. One, that a man or a woman could only be saved by the free grace of God. That a man or a woman cannot choose Christ until Christ has first chosen them. That no individual could make any contribution whatsoever to their salvation. And fourthly, that God brings his salvation to the heart of a man or to the heart of a woman by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And these four great discoveries played a strategic role in bringing into being what has been known now as the Great Reformation. That young man, of course, was none other than Martin Luther. Most people recognized that Psalm 46 formed the basis of one of Luther's great Reformation hymns. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. It was published in 1529, a critical time in the life of the great reformer, and it became known as the anthem for the Reformation. Psalm 46 was also written at a crucial time as well, during the reign of a man known as King Hezekiah. The year was around 700 BC. Sennacherib and his Assyrian forces invaded Judah. They had surrounded Jerusalem and they were planning to take the city. Sennacherib was a godless man, a man who boldly defied the Almighty in front of his covenant people. And it was his boast that even their God could not save them. But the arrogant, idolatrous leader was soon to discover that the God in heaven was greater than any potentate on earth. And that God would not only have the first word, but God would have the last word. Because he is the sovereign God, and he is in control of all things. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and that same night the Almighty sent an angel who slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And Psalm 46 was written shortly after this divine intervention. As I've already said, it has its roots in the overthrow of the Assyrian siege on Jerusalem. This army, under the leadership of Sennacherib, had invaded the land and encircled Zion, the city of God. And the story of the siege and how it was broken is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19. The psalm is a sort of a victory anthem. The psalmist is acknowledging with joy and thanksgiving God's goodness. And the testimony of the psalmist and the testimony of the people is summed up in one word, that the Lord has done great things for them. If you have a Bible with a marginal reference, it's interesting to note the introductory remarks to the song. The word Alamoth is used according to Alamoth. It's a song of thanksgiving. And this word Alamoth probably means that the instruments were set to a very high pitch. And the reason why they were set to a very high pitch means that this psalm had a distinctive note to sound. This psalm had a distinctive message to bring. Here is a psalm where the psalmist and his people have their eyes on God and on God alone. You know, the Christian life has much to teach us about focusing our eyes on God. The Christian experience of salvation begins by looking to God. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. The Christian life commences with a look. There's life for a look. We sometimes sing at the crucified one. The Christian life continues with a look. We're to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that little song that we sometimes sing within the context of children, look ever to Jesus and he will carry you through, is a truth that should not only be effective in the lives of boys and girls, but effective in the lives of all who know and love the Savior. And the Christian life is consummated with a look. We're looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible defines that as the blessed hope. And here in Psalm 46, the psalmist is directing our attention to God. Notice what he says here in these verses. In verses 1 to 3, he says this, be sure that God is your refuge. For when God is your refuge, then there is no need to fear. When you think of the context of the psalm, it's easy to appreciate the fear that was lurking in the hearts of the people. The approach of Sennacherib with his mighty army struck fear into the hearts of the people, that even their leaders lost faith and they began to look to Egypt for help. Here's what we read in 2 Kings chapter 18. Look now, you who are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. The prophet Isaiah makes reference to this as well in Isaiah chapter 30, when he speaks of those who go down to Egypt without consulting Jehovah, who look for help in Pharaoh's protection. But even Sennacherib knew that Egypt was a forlorn hope. And so the Jewish nation could do nothing but place their hope in God. And God did not fail them. And so you see the great message of the opening verses based upon what Israel learned at this time. Namely, whatever happens, we can be sure that we are secure in God. Whatever happens to us as God's believing people, we can be sure that we are secure in God. Notice what he says in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though things that we consider to be stable begin to move. Verse 3, though things go beyond man's ability to control, yet there is nothing beyond God's power to control. And so the psalmist writes, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Therefore, though billows roll, he'll keep our soul, and we can hide securely in him. God is not only our refuge, but God is our strength. And I am therefore able to weather the fury of the storm because he upholds me. God is not only our refuge and God is not only our strength, but God is our help. Therefore, in our time of need, he is near at hand. He is beside us and he's ready to meet us at the point of our need. And this threefold testimony is given following the dramatic intervention of God on behalf of his people. And it is given here not just as an expression of gratitude, but the psalmist speaks like this in order to stimulate our faith so that we might be enabled to trust God no matter what way the winds of adversity may blow. Being our refuge this morning, God is the one in whom we can hide when the storms of temptation and adversity and discouragement blow. When the enemy seems to be so aggressive, when he spells terror, when he seems to be close at hand, we can be sure that God will provide a shelter from the foe and from our paralyzing fears. Whenever we are conscious of our weaknesses, whenever we become aware of our inability to cope with the situation, when we're compelled to cry unto him, then his strength is given. And what seems to be imminent defeat will result in glorious victory. And when the distressed and when the perplexed acknowledge their dependence upon God, he soothes the troubled mind and he succors the troubled spirit. God is forever urging his people to be sure who he is. There is a little verse tucked away in the pages of the Old Testament, and it reads something like this, that the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And God is continually urging us to be sure of who he is, to be sure of what he can do, because it's only out of that certainty that there is born an unshakable and an unswerving faith. God says to his people today, be sure that God is your refuge, because if that is so, there is no need to fear. And then David says something else here. He says, be glad. He says, be glad in verse 4 through to verse 7. For God is not only the refuge of his people, God is a river. Therefore, there is no need to faint. You would know, of course, that in a dry country, a river is a godsend. It irrigates the land and it waters both man and beast. And to the besieged inhabitants of Jerusalem, Even that little stream that slowly trickled through the city meant the difference between resistance and surrender. What a picture the psalmist paints here as he likens God to a river. A river that is flowing full and free in the midst of his people. These mighty waters bring refreshment. These mighty waters bring freshness. These mighty waters bring hope. Here's what the prophet Ezekiel says in verse 9 of the 47th chapter of his prophecy. Where the river flows, everything will live. Fruits of every kind will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Can I bring you to a scene in Jerusalem? The Lord Jesus Christ has observed the ritual that has taken place in the sanctuary. And we read this in John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and he said with a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within." Here are waters this morning that speak of refreshment. Here are waters this morning that speak of hope. Here are waters this morning that remind us that it is God who makes his people glad. David is giving thanks to God this morning because it is God who is in the midst of his people. It is God who wars on their behalf. It is God who strikes fear into the hearts of their enemies. In verse 6, the nations are in uproar. The kingdoms are falling. But the Almighty, the Eternal, the Sovereign Lord lifts up his voice and the earth melts. This is our God this morning. This is the God whom David is focusing on. And this is the God whom we worship. And this is the God whom we serve. In verse 7, he speaks of him as the God of Jacob. And it is a reminder that he is the God who redeemed the patriarch out of his troubles. The God who supported the patriarch in all his trials. And what he has graciously done for Jacob, he has graciously done for the children of Jacob. It is no wonder then that the psalmist responds with joy and with adoration. And he speaks and he sings elsewhere in this Old Testament song book. And here is the theme of his song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." And Christians this morning can be glad because of what the Lord has done. Christians can be glad this morning because of what the Lord is doing. And Christians can be glad this morning because of what the Lord will yet do. So therefore, we should never be faint-hearted, but be confident in the Lord God Almighty. Be sure this morning, because you have a refuge, therefore there is no need to fear. Be glad this morning, because there is a river, therefore there is no need for you to faint. And then he comes to these tremendous words, "Be still. Be still." For God is not only the refuge of his people, and God is not only that river that pours refreshment and gives hope, God is the ruler of his people, and therefore there is no need to fret. Do you remember the first time you learned that chorus? And the first time you sang it, it's old, but its truth is ever new. God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. And the closing section of this psalm describes the amazing victory so easily accomplished by God over the massive Assyrian army. And the morning dawns when the land is littered with the dead and burning chariots and the burned out wagons and the useless baggage. And against all this background is sounded forth one of the great calls of Scripture. Be still and know that I am God. Is this what God is saying to you this morning? In the midst of a world where so much emphasis is placed upon activity, where we can so easily substitute activity for spirituality, where there's the danger of being busy yet barren, where some of us who don't want to be are dragged onto the fast lane and life is fleeting past us so quickly. And God says to us this morning, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Contemplate the Lord. Seek to do the most important thing of all. Know him. Do all that you can to cultivate your knowledge of the Lord. Know him this morning as the God who sits upon the throne. Know him this morning as the sovereign Lord, the almighty God, the loving Father. Meditate upon his works, upon his ways, and his wonders, his will, and his word. Take time and make time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always. And feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. And the result of this knowledge will be freedom. Freedom from all unnecessary worry. Freedom from burden and from care. Here is what God says this morning. Cast all your care upon me. For he cares for you. And when we do that, we discover that God is the refuge of his people. That God is the strength of his people. That God is a very present help in trouble. And who is there this morning that doesn't have trouble? Many there are who end the day with a cry. And who begin a new day with a sigh. Maybe this morning you've discovered a lump where you never thought there was a lump. And you're paralyzed with fear and you haven't shared it with anyone. God says, cast your care upon me. You have an unsaved son or daughter this morning and they're kicking over the traces of life and they're breaking your heart and your burden, and no matter how long you pray for them and no matter how often you pray for them, it seems that they're not coming near to God but further away from God. God says, be still and know that I am God. And whether in sorrow or in sickness, whether in the sanctuary or whether in the service or whether in the solitude, God says, be still and allow him who rules the destiny of nations to be the Lord of your life as well as Lord over your life. Be still. Cultivate the sense of God's presence. And as a result, the serenity of God's peace will fill your mind and it will be a fortress around your heart and around your soul. I wish I could get my hands on these morons who run about telling people that once you become a Christian, all your troubles are over. Once you become a Christian, you have no more difficulty, you have no more battle. All you need to do is name it and claim it. Rubbish! My dear friends, listen, I find God's people in valleys. I find God's people in Doubting Castle. I find God's people at Wits End Corner. But you know what I discover? God is with them there. God is with them there. In times of trial, Martin Luther was accustomed to say to his friends, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." Do we need to do that this morning? He found this psalm to be so helpful in the face of trouble and trial. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we preachers let our imagination run riot. Let me do it for a few moments this morning as I close, and I hope that it's not too far off the beam. I'm sure you'll tell me if it is. But I've often said to myself, if I could speak to some of the saints of a bygone day and ask them this question, I wonder what they would do. Daniel, what did it mean for you to be still and to know that God was God? And somehow or other I feel Daniel will say, well, I did it. I did it in times of adversity. I can remember the king calling to me in an anguished voice. I'll never forget his words, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And I was glad to be able to say, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of lions. And when I was lifted up from the den, no wound was found in me, because I trusted in God in the midst of adversity." Paul, when did you do it? Oh, I did it in times of infirmity. You see, if you read my letter, my second letter to the Corinthians, you will read that because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so I was able to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, because Christ's power was resting on me. Moses, what about you? Were there times when you were still? And I believe Moses would say, well, I did it in times of prosperity. In times of prosperity. I remember as a young believer, an older saint taking me to the side one day. And as he was tutoring me in the things of God, he said this to me. He said, "You know, sometimes prosperity is harder to handle than adversity." Some of God's people have been strengthened in the midst of their adversity, and they've been overcome in the midst of their prosperity. Here is what God says to his people. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery." Why has God ordained a table and a feast like this, which we shall celebrate in a moment or two? Because we are a forgetful people. And we need to be reminded, and we need reminders, and we need to be still, not only in times of adversity, not only in times of infirmity, but in times of prosperity. And realize afresh that all that we are and all that we have and all that we ever hope to be, whether it be physical, material, intellectually, or spiritually, is only because of the goodness and the kindness of God. And here David reminds us of the importance of being still in times of victory? And as he reflected on God's marvelous, mighty, and miraculous intervention, he was quick to remind himself that there's no need to fear. There's no need to faint. There's no need to fret. All we need to do is to be still and to know that he is God. This psalm assures us that in times of trouble and fear we can stand. This psalm reminds us that in times of trouble and fear we can be strong and victorious in the Lord because of the strength and the health that is to be found in him. He is our refuge in times of fear. When we feel weak and faint, the living water sustains and strengthens us. We do not need to worry about the present or the future because our God is in control at all times and under every circumstance. And when the enemy attacks us from every side, we can trust the Lord to protect us because he cannot fail. For he and he alone is God. Be still and know.